but the downward trajectory from the sixth floor would have the bullet exiting lower than the president's neck wound. Commission member Gerald Ford had a remedy. In a 1997 article, the Associated Press reported that notes by Commission Chief Counsel Lee Rankin showed that Ford suggested moving the location of the back wound higher to the base of the president's neck. Ford's changes tend to support the single bullet theory by making a specific point that the bullet entered Kennedy's body at the back of his neck rather than his uppermost back, as the commission staff originally wrote, the AP reported. Yes, but there is no evidence that's where the bullet struck Kennedy. In fact, the evidence shows something very different. An autopsy drawing shows the wound to be in the upper back, not the neck. The president's death certificate places the wound at the third thoracic vertebrae, just to the left and slightly above the right shoulder blade. The bullet holes in Kennedy's shirt and jacket line up with that location. The best explanation defenders of the Warren Commission could come up with is a theory that Kennedy's finely tailored clothing somehow bunched up so that the fabric with the bullet holes was resting at the base of his neck. But as previously noted, a close-up of Zapruder film 225 shows Kennedy and Connally reacting to a shot precisely at the same instant, suggesting that they were in fact hit by the same bullet. So how can that be justified with the location of Kennedy's back wound? Keep in mind, the commission raised the location of Kennedy's wound from his back to his neck to accommodate the sharp downward angle from the sixth-floor window so that the bullet would exit where it did. But what if that particular shot didn't come from the sixth-floor window but a lower floor? Researcher Bob Harris suggests the gunman that fired the magic bullet was not in the sixth-floor window, but was actually at a third-floor window of the Daltex building across the street. He notes that a bullet fired from that lower floor would have had a flatter trajectory and could have entered Kennedy's upper back, exiting his throat. The wounds, it seems, provide the best evidence of how the shooting took place. While there is no evidence that Kennedy was shot in the neck, there is evidence he was shot in the back, the autopsy and death certificate. Which is more credible, Gerald Ford's guess or physicians who examine the body? A full and objective investigation to find the truth would probably acknowledge this evidence, but as noted, the Warren Commission's mission was not a full and objective investigation, but to convince the public of Oswald's guilt. And while not everyone was convinced, many were. Over the last half century, a number of assassination researchers and authors have concluded that the Warren Commission and the FBI got it right. They believe there is no other explanation for the crime than a loner named Lee Harvey Oswald decided to make history by killing the President of the United States. Among the best known of the backers of the official version is Gerald Posner, an attorney and investigative journalist. His 1993 book, Case Closed, makes the case that only three shots were fired at the president and Oswald fired all three of them. "I truly and adamantly believe in Oswald as the sole assassin," Posner told an interviewer in 1998. "People think he wasn't smart enough to have done it. I do, and that's why I spent such a lot of time tracing Oswald's life." Norman Mailer, author of Oswald's Tale, also believed Lee Oswald acted alone, but it's not clear he was convinced by evidence. "Like most conspiratorialists, I wanted it to be a conspiracy," Mailer said in an interview for the PBS program Oswald's Ghost. "And I kept thinking how a conspiracy could have put that thing together, and I must say I fail notably. I couldn't figure it out. The internal evidence just wasn't there. There were too many odd moments that just didn't add up. The more I came to know him, the more I studied him, Oswald's character became more and more defined for me. He had a great many political ideas, and he wrote long passages about the way in which society should be designed. He was a futurist and a utopian to a degree. I think that what he believed is the route to power is not closed as far as he was concerned. By himself, Oswald came to the conclusion that he could bring this off, that he could commit this crime, that he could yet be a very powerful man, and that it was worth it because he was leading a miserable life. I think what Oswald saw, that if he committed the crime, if he assassinated Kennedy and got away with it, then he would have an inner power that no one could come near. And if he were caught, well, he was quite articulate. He would have one of the greatest trials in America's history, if not the greatest. He could explain all of his ideas, and he might have an immense effect on world history, even if he were executed. So in effect, Mailer relied on his perception of Oswald's psychological makeup to reach the conclusion that he was guilty. He didn't need to justify all the evidence. But in September 1964, when the Warren Commission released its report, there was plenty of evidence to consider. In addition to the 888-page report, the commission also released 26 volumes of supporting documentation, which very few people bothered to read. To those who did read it, it quickly became clear that the official investigation was anything but thorough. And it wasn't long before questions were asked and new theories began to emerge about who killed JFK and why.